Time now here on RNIB Connect Radio for another of our regular check-ins with pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Toby.
With days starting to get a little bit longer with lighter mornings and evenings, we are also coming into hay fever season, which I know some people suffer from quite badly. Hay fever is an allergy, isn't it, Elizabeth?
Yeah, Toby, you're quite right. It's an allergic reaction to pollen. If you do suffer from hay fever, then the nasal passages, when they come into contact, then we call that the allergen. Your body produces an allergic response caused by immunoglobulin IgE. And what happens is the mast cells in the nasal passages, they degranulate. And that means they release histamine, other substances such as leukotrienes, prostaglandins. And that in turn gives you all the symptoms that you know about: sneezing, runny nose, itching in the nose, even in the mouth. A lady came in yesterday and said, "I've got this terrible itch in my throat." So that's obviously the start of the hay fever.
Are there different types of pollen then, Elizabeth?
Yes, grass pollen, for example, that affects around 95% of all hay fever sufferers. And birch tree pollen affects probably about 20%.
So what about treatment for hay fever then?
Let's start with antihistamines. They should be taken daily. And there are now several non-drowsy preparations. But please always be aware it could cause drowsiness and the usual precautions if you're a driver. So that's the background treatment. And after that, it's important to relieve localized symptoms. What I mean is a nasal spray. It's the nose. The most effective ones are the steroid preparations. Now, they calm down the nasal passages and they're recommended to be started about 2 weeks before symptoms appear, and they have to be used regularly. And when you're squirting into the nose, it's important to put the contents into the side of the nose, not straight back and down the back into your throat. Now, other nasal sprays, decongestants, they can be used, but only for not more than 7 days. They can make symptoms worse if you do use them for long term. The sprays I think are useful are the saline ones. Now, they literally wash the pollen out of the nose and can be used along with other treatments. Now, if the eyes are affected, something called sodium chromoglycate. The important thing is that must be used regularly 4 times a day. Now, there's a couple of newer treatments, Toby. An eye drop, first of all, called loperamide, which you should start early. The dose is just one drop twice a day. Now, depending where you live in the UK, you may be able to obtain the drop directly from your pharmacist or by prescription from your GP. Another newer antihistamine some people will know about it is fexofenadine. Now, that's a once-a-day treatment. There are some people who shouldn't take the medicine. For example, if you've had an allergic reaction to the medicine itself, if you've got problems with your liver, kidneys, heart problems, even epilepsy, another health condition that puts you at risk of seizures or fits. Or funnily enough, if you're due for an allergy test, you're better not to take fexofenadine. It may affect the results, so you might need to stop taking it a few days before the test. The good thing is always ask your pharmacist for any information on medicine that you're getting.
Apart from those annoying symptoms, are there any dangers to our health from having hay fever?
Yeah, when hay fever is unchecked, it can lead to asthma, Toby. That's inflammation that can start to affect the lungs and it can travel down. Asthma, as you may know, in extreme cases can cause an inability to breathe. You've got breathing problems that can result in hospitalisation and even death. And about 40% of people will go on to develop asthma. So it's really important to get your hay fever treated.
Finally, Elizabeth, can anything be done to prevent hay fever?
Yes, I do something called an allergy screening. And part of that is looking at triggers. In the case of pollen, there are avoidance tactics which can be employed. Just a simple Vaseline-type barrier at the end of the nose, and that just stops the pollen from travelling into the nasal cavity. And when you come into the house, remember that you will be full of pollen, your hair, your clothes. I always say to somebody who's really having a problem, take a change of clothes downstairs, maybe change before you go into, for example, your bedroom, and you're taking the pollen with you. Now, beware the pollen counts on a daily basis. And if you can stay indoors with windows shut, that will obviously help. And pollen counts are higher when the weather is dry and warm. We're certainly not having that up here at the moment. Protecting the eyes with wraparound sunglasses stops the pollen getting in there, as well as yourself being full of pollen, your pets. So if you've got a dog, when the dog comes in, it will be full of pollen. So please wipe down with a wet towel and dry your washing outside again. What happens is you're bringing in the pollen into the house, and avoid grassy areas. These are just a few things that can help getting exposed to too much pollen.
Well, some really useful information there about hay fever and how to prevent it and what to do if you do suffer from it. Elizabeth, if people would like to maybe get in touch and ask for some advice, where can people go to find you?
OllieW's newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
Well, as always, thank you very much indeed, Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
I really enjoy these sessions, Toby.